Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Hallelujah. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, yet which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As I said, we've been at a training conference, and last month the question was raised about preaching the truth from the pulpit. And the leader, Dr. Fred Garman, stood up and said, why don't you preach the truth like you're supposed to from the pulpit? A bunch of people raised their hand and said, because people will leave if you do. They'll get their feelings hurt, they'll take their toys and go home. And I raised my hand and I interjected and I said, that's very true. We're living in a society today. We're living in a time, in a culture, that we got a bunch of millennial snowflakes and everybody's waiting to be offended and they're waiting to get their feelings hurt so they can take it out on somebody else. So they can play the victim, so they can get the attention that they're a victim, and so that they can just be upset, because a lot of times, you know, people enjoy extreme emotions. It's like young teenage girls and teenage boys. At the age of 14 and 15, you can talk to them, and in their head, they're just all, I'm in love. I'm in love so much. I'm in love so strong. I'm in love so hard and so bad it hurts. I just got to figure out who I'm in love with. You laugh at me, but it's the truth. And they'll find someone and they'll zero in. Oh, I'm in love with that one. That's the one right there. And oh, they're in love with them too for about 15 minutes. And all for, well, I'm talking maybe 3 weeks. They'll be in love so hard and nobody can separate them. And then all of a sudden, the newness of that extreme emotion wears off and they start getting into a complacency. They get into a place where that newness is gone. And then they pick a fight with one another. You know why? So they can feel that extreme emotion again. And the extreme emotion this time is a breakup. And oh, they're destroyed. They're all to pieces that we're breaking up. And they'll go to their friends and they'll have pity parties with their friends. And oh, I'm broke. And then all of a sudden, one of them will say, I'm sorry, babe. Now they're back. And it's a roller coaster ride of emotions. We have reached that point in society today where people want to experience the extreme emotion and they will go to unprecedented lengths to reach that place. And that's why people are wearing their emotions on their sleeve. We live in a society today where people are waiting to be hurt. And I spoke up and I said, we're living in that society now. People are waiting to be hurt. People are snowflakes. They're going to melt over. You know why they're called snowflakes? When it snows and the snow is laying on the ground, the snow stays. But if you catch a snowflake in your hand, it melts within seconds. That's why this new generation are called snowflakes, because they melt in an instant. And it is bleeding over into society heavily. Not just that young generation, but it's bleeding over into the older generations, and it's made its way into the churches. And in the churches, it's getting to the point that a pastor can't say anything about sin. A pastor can't say anything about the negative things that are going on in the church, because if he does, some of his big money payers are going to leave. Just to let you know, when I said this to these people, I said, we're living in that generation. And we as shepherds, a shepherd, when he's tending his flock, he has to take that staff every now and then, and if a sheep starts leaving the flock and heading away into danger, you have to take that staff, and there's certain things you do with it. Sometimes you reach out and hook them and pull them back. But if they won't have that, reach out and hook them and pull them back, you take the end of that staff and you tap them on the noggin. You might have to tap them on the noggin two or three times to get them to come back in. But it's better than letting the sheep get away from the flock and getting killed or dying. Amen? As a traditional churches, praise God we ain't no traditional church. Because if we was in a traditional church, there'd be all kinds of fits about this new lighting that I got. We're not bogged down in tradition in this church. But we focus on the leading of the Lord by the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God for this church. My family tells me all the time, praise God for this church, Daddy. Praise God we're finally at a place like this. Praise God we're finally here. The greatest church I have ever known is right here. When I was a child, my parents would tell me of the love they had for me. And I would say, I love you too. And they would say, I love you more. And I said, no, I love you more. And they say, no, there's no way you can know the love we have for you. The only way you'll know the love we have for you is if you were a parent and you had your own child. You won't ever know the love we have until you have your own child. Didn't that used to make you angry? You won't know till you have a child of your own. But my dear Lord in heaven, when Sarah was born, my entire world changed. My entire worldview changed. And I suddenly understood what mom and dad were saying. You won't know love until you know the love of your own child. Praise be unto God and all that's holy. Mom, I had a completely different, I wasn't the same man anymore. And glory, hallelujah, when that grandbaby came. Holy Moses, I thought love was great and grand with a baby. But when that grandbaby jumps up in her papa's arms and says, I love papa. Y'all might as well not even exist. That's perfect love. Suddenly I understood that saying that my parents had said to me. Now as a Christian, I received a greater love than I'd ever known before, and that's the love of Jesus Christ and His grace and His mercy and His love. And that was, and everybody that experiences that through salvation, you experience a great new love from God, and you begin to exude a new love for one another, don't you? But as a pastor, it's just like when you become a parent. There's a new love there. Because suddenly, I become responsible. Now, when my child is born, I'm responsible to see to it that she is taught how to live in society so she don't end up in prison. Some people say, well, why do you spank your child? Because I don't want to visit her on Sunday afternoons in prison. I want her to understand there are consequences to breaking the rules of society. And they learn that as a child. My daughters are not in prison, praise God. And they respect the fact that they got their rear ends tore up from time to time. It used to tear me out of the frame to have to do it. I couldn't stand it. But I did it because I loved them. Amen? Now, loving your child and training your child so they'll stay out of prison is one thing. But I'm responsible for keeping your soul out of hell. I'm responsible for seeing to it that you get the best experience you can in your relationship with Jesus. And I take that responsibility very seriously. Now, I have been, in this conference we've been going to, I've been discouraged greatly a few times because they give us a personal assessment test, and that personal assessment test pegs you to a T of who you are. And my family has just been rejoicing in that because they said, we've been telling you this for decades. They talk about how mean and hard to get along with that I am. And I never realize it. I declare to you, I don't. And I'm so mad sometimes, and I ain't got a clue that I am. But they're telling me, why are you so mad? Who's mad? Why are you so angry? Who's angry? I'm just expressive. And I like right now, some people would say, you're angry. You're talking to us like you're angry. I had a friend of mine one time, how come you stand up in the pulpit and holler at us and scream at us? I'm excited. I ain't mad at you. Well, you sure act like you are. I said, well, I'm not. There's a problem in the church when if a pastor tries to correct you, you take your toys and go home. If I see you, I care about you. You got to know this. You are on my mind. I see your faces at night when I close my eyes. Do you see mine? I see yours. I see yours when I'm driving down the road. I see yours when I'm sitting at the table. I see yours when I'm studying to preach. When I'm praying, I see your face. And I'm concerned. I want to ask you something. People get upset when they get corrected. I need to ask you, what am I supposed to do? If I see you rolling backwards, and I see you getting ready to roll off a cliff, am I supposed to say, wait, stop rolling backwards, because you're having fun rolling backwards. You're showing people you could do something special. You're rolling backwards. Am I supposed to say, please stop rolling backwards, because you're headed for a hill, you're going to die, and make you mad? Or I just sit there and be quiet and let you die? Which one am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say, hey, stop doing that, Sister Barbara, even though it's going to make Sister Barbara mad? Or am I going to say, I'm watching, and then go to her funeral? It's better mad than dead. I'm not concerned about my popularity with you. I do care about my popularity. I do care about whether or not you love me. I do. But I don't let it stop me from protecting you. Amen? The only thing that really matters is me doing everything I possibly can to keep you, my flock, out of hell. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. Now, before I went into the ministry full-time, I had a great career. Didn't I, Sister Renee? I had a great career. I had worked my way up from a screen maker to the art department director in a Fortune 500 company, making great money. I would work my 8 to 10 hours a day and go home. Some days, I would go to work, and they'd say, we don't have any work to do, and I would go home and still get paid. There was a time in my life where I got to go home. I'd go to work every morning, and every morning they'd say, we don't have any work, go home. For 6 weeks, and I got paid. But the Lord burdened my heart and told me that I was supposed to be a pastor, a youth pastor, a children's pastor. And Sister Renee and I both agreed that's what I was supposed to do. So we took a job at the first church that would hire us, and we took $1,000 a month cut in pay. Can you get by with $1,000 a month cut in pay? We had just bought a house and a brand new Camaro and had a baby. And the Lord said, go do this. And we took $1,000 a month cut in pay. Do you know what? I wouldn't change it, because the Lord took care of us. He met every need, every bill. Things got tight, but we saw it. We saw it come in. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not bragging on myself at all. But I'm trying to get you to see something. Because when I told that group that we were at the conference, I said, as pastors, it's our responsibility to minister to that flock, whether they like it or not. Because it don't matter whether they like it if it's for their benefit. I said, as pastors, we have to be the ones to teach them to get rid of that snowflake mentality. And I'm trying to do that today. I'm trying to get rid of the snowflake mentality. There's not much of it here, but there's some. You don't need to let your feelings get hurt when I'm trying to help, when I'm trying to love you, when I'm trying to bring the word. Sometimes, saints, I just need you to see my heart. And the fact is, I'm going to tell you the truth for the simple reason that I love you. And sometimes the truth hurts. I never take joy in it. I'm never one of those pastors that says, I'm going to bust hide today. I used to hear pastors do that, and it make me mad. I'm going to bust hide today. You need to come see that. I'm busting hide today. So why are you doing that? Sometimes people need correction. Sometimes people need to be led in the right direction. But you don't need to be happy about the fact that you're going to be hurting their feelings. That's wrong on so many levels. But should I avoid the truth that'll cause you harm just to avoid hurting your feelings? I love you, but I'm not called to protect your feelings. I'm called to protect your soul from an eternal hell. Well, Pastor, sometimes them things you preach on ain't got nothing to do with whether or not I go to hell. Yes, they do. You just don't see the connection. It's like a great big dam holding back a river. Sometimes it's that tiny little stone at the bottom of the dam. It's called a keystone. That tiny little stone, I ain't got no problem holding that river back in that dam, but you remove that little stone, and all of a sudden, boom, crash, bang, the whole river's coming down. If I see you hit, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. If I see you headed for a cliff, but to tell you about it hurts your feelings, am I supposed to let you fall to your death? If the Lord burdens my heart to bring a word that causes people to be upset, but it ultimately leads to your benefit, do I ignore the Lord just to save your feelings? Do I look like the kind of pastor? Do I strike you as the kind of pastor that draws pleasure from hurting your feelings? The Bible calls pastors shepherds. Shepherds are supposed to take care of the flock. Sometimes that means taking that staff and tapping them in the noggin. Sometimes it means reaching out with the hook on that staff and pulling them up back into the fold. Sometimes it means chasing them down and climbing down into that ditch that they've trapped themselves in and try to help them get out. Have y'all ever seen the videos of the hunters who's found trapped deer who's trapped in fences, wire fences and things like that, and letting them out? I seen one the other day, and this deer, his hooves and his antlers, he was just ripping those people to shreds. He was hurting them while they were getting them out. But if they didn't get him out, he was going to die there needlessly. So they kept right on. They spread that fence apart, got their legs unwrapped, and let that deer out, and they were bloody. Tore apart by the antlers and the hooves when they got through. But they hugged each other's necks and was grateful that they got that deer out of that fence. Sometimes when your shepherd has to climb down in that ditch where you are, he gets kicked around and by your antlers and by your hooves. Sometimes when he's going after you to do well for you, you lash out at him. It's been happening. The Lord's told me that it's been happening. But here recently, in the past few weeks, I've seen it. I've watched it. And you know what? I still love you. But that don't stop it from hurting. Is that going to make me stop trying to help you and lead you out of that ditch? No. If it means that you're going to be mad at me until you get to heaven, I'll do it. Just to keep you out of hell. Because I know when we get to heaven, you're still going to love me. Amen. Praise God. If a pastor is worth his salt, he'll sacrifice his popularity, his good reputation among the church, in order to help the flock keep from spiritual ruin. It's a hefty price, and it's a painful price. But to the shepherd, it is worth it. I love y'all. And I wanted you to know that. I've had some of my flock spread horrible things about me while I was trying to protect them. I've had some of my flock march through the sanctuary blasting me and yelling and screaming and ranting about me while they were leaving and throwing their keys on the desk when they leave and while I was trying to help them. I've had them leave here and go out into the community and spread all kinds of wicked, evil lies and do everything they could to destroy the church attendance just so they could attack me. And you know what that does to me? You know what I think about them when they do that? I still love them. I still love them. Before the pandemic, pastors were resigning their churches at astronomical rates. But since the pandemic, the numbers have gone through the roof of pastors who can't take the hurt, who can't take the stress, who can't take the problems and I'm going to tell you, there's been countless times in the ministry when I talked it over with Sister Renee that I was going to leave. I was going to resign. I was going to get out of the ministry because it was just too painful. It was too stressful. It hurt too bad. You know why it hurts so bad? Because when I first got into the ministry, the first thing I said I was going to do was I was going to love my people like they were my children. And the next thing I was going to do was I was going to make sure they know I love them. And I have had pastor after pastor after pastor tell me, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. You're getting too close to your people. You're being a friend and you're not being their leader. You're not being their pastor. You're not doing it the right way. Well, I can't do it any other way. And there's been times, that's why it hurts so bad. And there's been times when I told Sister Renee, I just can't do this anymore. I got to find another job. And I literally did for about 4 years. I found another way to minister without being in the pastorate. But it just didn't work out. My heart wasn't there. And there's been times when I went into when I was in the ministry and I would say to Sister Renee, we got to quit, we got to resign, we got to get out of this. And I would go to church, and just as soon as I walk into church, I would see the faces. Do you know there's no possible way I could come up here and stand in front of you and resign? Because when I see your face, you are my heart. Well, Pastor, are you thinking about resigning? No, I'm not. I am not. That's not been, I'm not trying to say that I have been. I'm trying to let you know where my heart is with you. Well, Pastor, what's your goal? What's your point? My point is, I'm trying to break down that millennial snowflake mentality. Well, some people might be thinking, well, he's talking about me. I triggered this. No, you didn't. The Lord put this on my heart Tuesday. And then while I was sitting in that conference yesterday, I mean, the message has been getting put together in my mind and in my heart since Tuesday. And I was in that conference yesterday, and I was thinking, well, I got to come up with something else for tomorrow morning. And the Lord said, no, you're not. And I literally could not have, I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't put anything else in my mind but this message this morning. You know what that meant to me? God said, you're doing what I said. I want you to know this. If there's ever a doubt in your mind whether or not your pastor loves you, you just come see me. If I ever do anything that upsets you or makes you angry, come see me. I promise you we will fix it. I promise you we will. There will be times when I get on your nerves. There will be times when I make you angry. When I do things you don't like. But I cannot imagine heaven without you in it. God told me a long time ago, and I've made this a point, I've made this a saying, that God put me on this planet for one reason. He has given me talents and gifts and abilities. And sometimes I thank him because there's so many talents and gifts that he's given me that I keep thinking, why didn't you give these to somebody else? Because to whom much is given, much is required. And all these things that he's given me to me for the purpose of being able to use them for you, for the ministry. Hallelujah. My single purpose is to take all those gifts and all those talents that he's given me and bring them together and do everything within my power, everything that's humanly possible within everything that I have, to see to it that when I get to heaven, I see your face. Because I can't stand the thoughts of not one of you being there. Pastor, what are we supposed to do now? I want you. This is not me begging for a pastor appreciation Sunday. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not my point. My point is, I wanted you to see my heart. Because in the coming days, there might be things that I have to bring correction for. I'm not expecting it. I don't see it already. I don't have it already on the books. I don't have it planned. I don't know what I'm talking about as far as that goes. But it might be coming. Or I might have already brought correction to you, and you're hurting about it, or you're upset, or you're angry. I wanted you to see my heart. The good shepherd in Israel, the shepherd who loves his flock, when he takes them out into the green pastures there on the hillsides in Israel, they don't get to come back into the shed. They don't get to come back into the barn every night to sleep. They have to stay out in the wilderness. And sometimes these shepherds, they find a cave. And they lead that flock into the cave. And there's no gate on the cave. There's no door on the cave. And there's wolves and coyotes and all kinds of predators. And they will bring those sheep into that cave and bring them in there. And these shepherds have to sleep too. And when they go in there and do that, in order to keep the flock inside the cave, they have to lay their body across the opening. So that if the sheep gets out, he has to step over. The shepherd is laying there to protect him. And if the wolf and the coyote or the predator wants to get in there and get a sheep, that shepherd has laid his body at the door so that that wolf or that coyote has to get him first to protect his flock. That's where my heart is for you. I'm going to bring a word tonight that I'm so excited about. I'm excited about because the Lord has been putting things on my heart. We've been talking about for the past few months, waves of glory. We've been talking about proclaiming the victory and dedication. We've been talking about these three things over and over and over again. And I'm bringing some of that tonight that's going to light this place up. Because I'm watching as we speak. We're calling things into existence. And it's beginning to happen in this church. And we're reaching a point where God is giving us momentum. And we're watching. We're going to see things happen in this church that we've been prophesying about for nearly a decade. And usually when we start getting into a place where we're getting ready to start moving forward, the enemy jumps in and attacks people and causes division and causes strife. That's why we're at this place right now. If you would, I would like for you to come in.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina. Just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.